Welcome to another edition of the NHL Executive Suite. I'm Deb Placey. There have been other years when there were a few controversial topics that the GMs were dealing with at their annual March meetings. Not really this year. The game's in a pretty good place. And the same can be said about the Vancouver Canucks. Our next guest is the general manager of the Canucks, Jim Benning, who has been through some tough times there and has lived to tell about it. He's the son of the legendary scout Elmer Benning, who spent 50 years with the Montreal Canadiens. So we'll talk about how his dad influenced him as a talent evaluator, and also how Jim's days as an offensive defenseman impacts how he sees the game. Happy to have with us the general manager of the Vancouver Canucks, Jim Benning. So, Jim, as you spend time here in Florida for the annual March meetings with your fellow general managers, what is top of mind for you all?
I think we all agree our game's in a great place right now. It's really fast. It's exciting. You know, the goals are going up every year, it seems like. And our game's a lot of fun to watch. We've got a lot of good young players that can really skate and have great skills. And, you know, we've seen the lacrosse goals this year and a bunch of different, you know, fun moves that these young guys are willing to try. And so I think, you know, I think from the league's perspective, you know, everything is, you know, really exciting. The playoff races are tight, especially out in our division. And, you know, that makes for exciting hockey.
When you saw an emergency backup goaltender have to go into a game with points at stake in a very important stretch, as a GM, what are you thinking?
Well, it's difficult, I guess, to watch. But in both cases, it's happened. You know, the teams that have had the emergency goalies have won the game. So, you know, it's had no impact on the standings. You know, we talked about, you know, doing all that we can to make sure that we have, you know, these emergency backups have played at a high level at some point or are practicing with teams so, you know, they can come in and not look out of place. So, you know, I guess it's happened so infrequent the last couple of years that I don't, you know, I hope and I don't think it's going to be a big problem.
You played 9 years for the Leafs and Canucks.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine two better markets to play and to prepare you to be a general manager for one of the big teams in Canada with so much attention. How did your playing career set you up for handling things as a GM?
Well, you know, I don't think, you know, playing, it's a whole different ball game than, you know, when you become a general manager. You know, playing, you're more in the moment, the day-to-day of, you know, competing, you know, trying to help your team win. And, you know, you kind of live in a vacuum where you just, you know, you practice, you know, do the pregame meal, sleep, play that night, get on a plane, go to the next town. But as a general manager, it's different because you are managing, you know, a group of people that, you know, work underneath you that you want to try to mold into, you know, what you think is important as far as player personnel and the type of team that you want to have. So I think there's a lot more that goes into, like, when you're managing people on a day-to-day basis, you know, because you have to take care of a bunch of people versus a player, you're just taking care of yourself.
What do you remember about your days as a player?
I guess how different, you know, now when I look back on it and I see, you know, how different the game is now, how fast it is, how, you know, how skilled it is. When I played, I was more of a skater. I like handling the puck. I was an offensive style defenseman, get the puck out of our own end. You know, I think when I watch the games now, the way I played was more suited towards today's game versus when I played.
You missed your calling.
The way, you know, it was played in the 80s. But I think, you know, that's the exciting part. The game never stays the same. It continues to, you know, change and get faster and get more skilled. And, you know, and in my business, you know, when you think you got it figured out, something always changes where you got to change with the time. So I think, you know, I enjoy as a general manager the team building concept of, you know, building a team that can be competitive and ultimately compete for the Stanley Cup. I think that's my biggest enjoyment of being a general manager.
As a player, though, what was the enjoyment for you? Do you think back to your buddies and some, you know, fun teammates?
You know, I played in Toronto for 5 years and then out in Vancouver. You know, in both places, we kind of had, we were rebuilding teams, and, you know, both teams I played on, and we had a lot of young players, and, you know, and so, you know, for me, the, you know, I grew up in Western Canada. I grew up in Edmonton, Alberta. I got drafted to Toronto, and I guess my first memory of flying in there was, wow, what a big city this is, right? It was a little bit overwhelming for me. And then I got traded out to Vancouver, and being from Western Canada, it felt like I was going back home. So Pat Quinn was a general manager out there then, and Bob McCammon was our coach, and I enjoyed, you know, playing for both of them. And you know, it was a lot of fun. My playing career, I can say that, we won our share of games, but it was a lot of fun.
Someone who was larger than life in the game, Pat Quinn, I know was a mentor for you. What did he teach you?
Pat, you know, he was, when I was there, he was general manager. And then after I was gone, he coached the team there. But the thing I learned from Pat, he treated everybody the same. Like if you were the best player on the team or you were the 21st player on the team, he treated you with respect. And he understood like everybody had a job to do on the team. And if you did your job, you know, you'd help the team be successful. So I enjoyed, like, when I'd go up to the office and, you know, I enjoyed talking hockey with Pat. He was, you know, he was such a smart hockey man. But I think, you know, the way he treated everybody with respect and the way he got the most out of all of his players is what I learned from him.
Don't you think sometimes, though, with players that, or it's also a way to go, that to treat them differently?
Yeah, but I think when I say that, like, you know, he made, you know, the 12th player to the 21st player on the team, like, feel important. He made those guys feel like their job was important, that they come to the rink and, you know, they're a big part of the team winning. Like, I think he treated the top players, you know, a little bit differently, but he made everybody feel important. Yeah.
So you played with a lot of young players on rebuilding teams. Who's the best player, your most talented player you ever played with?
When I was in Toronto, like, that was the years, you know, they drafted Eli Afraidy and Russ Courtnell and Gary Lehman, Wendell Clark. He was a real good player. Rick Vive back then was, he had 350 goal seasons.
Wow.
And he, you know, he was... he was a great player at that time. He could really shoot the puck, and, you know, he had skill, and he could get to the net. He was physically strong. And so I would say probably, you know, looking back on my career, he was, you know, playing with Boyas Salming at times. I played defense, and he was my defense partner, and he was a fun player to play with. And, you know, he was probably the best player, but, you know, playing with Rick Vive too, and all the goals he scored, that was fun to be part of.
So as an offensive defenseman, that must, you know, impact the way that you look at defensemen today and as a general manager, executive all these years. When you look around the league, who are some of the more impressive offensive defensemen to you?
This last couple years, with Heiskanen in Dallas getting drafted so high and being such a good player, and Cole Makar and Quinn Hughes with our team, like, you know, these guys are so good. You know, they skate so well. They handle the puck, they get up ice, they can all shoot it. Like, they're such good players at such a young age. Like, they just step in and it's like they played in the league for 5 or 7 years, you know. Like, they, you know, they play with a lot of confidence, and, you know, they're fun to watch. They're fun for our fan base to see Quinn Hughes play and do the things that he's done for our team. It's fun.
They used to say all the time that it takes defensemen longer.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't seem to be the case anymore. Even if you look at Quinn Hughes' younger brother Jack, seems like Quinn has adjusted to the NHL a little bit sooner than Jack, who, you know, probably needs to, you know, grow up a little bit in terms of putting on weight, getting a little stronger, that kind of thing.
that's the decision we made with Quinn. Like, we didn't want to rush him. So, you know, after we drafted him, he went back to school for one more year just for that very reason, just to, you know, we didn't want him to come in too early and get overwhelmed and, you know, with the size and strength of the players. And so he went back, and I think it's really helped him this year. He went back to the University of Michigan and had a good year last year, and, you know, got stronger, got the experience of playing at the World Junior, and then came in this year and from the first day of training camp didn't look out of place. And, you know, as we can see, you know, he's had a real good year for us.
So your hockey roots go way back, right, to your dad, who was a legendary scout, 50 years a scout?
Yeah, for Montreal. He was a fireman by trade, but he worked for the Montreal Canadiens for a long time through the years. And, you know, he loved the scouting. He loved working for the Montreal Canadiens. And so when I finished playing and kind of got into the scouting, you know, he was my mentor and helped me along. And he passed away a year ago now, and I really miss him. Like, you know, when things, even with our own team, when I used to pick up the phone and call him and ask his advice on things, and you know, he's not there anymore. So it's like sometimes I'm so busy with my job, I think, oh, I got to call my dad. And then I say, oh, I realize that he passed on. So it was a big loss for our family, and we really miss him.
What did you get from him in terms of how he looked at players? What did you learn from the way he scouted?
He loved smart players. He loved players with high hockey sense. You know, those are the types of, you know, players that he thought could make the adjustment to the NHL and adapt. And, you know, he was always, you know, would tell me, like, watch what they do when they don't have the puck on their stick, like where their defensive positioning is. And, you know, and I guess, like, you worked in Jersey for a long time, and they always drafted really smart two-way hockey players. And, you know, those are the types of players that he liked.
Now, you said he was a fireman by trade. He couldn't be a scout full-time back in those days.
Well, he was a fireman, you know, like he worked on the fire department in Edmonton for 35 years, and he was a captain when he retired, and then he, you know, scouted on weekends.
Wow.
And, you know, during the week he'd go to games if he wasn't working in around Edmonton, and, you know, during the weekends he'd get in the car and head out to Saskatchewan or BC or wherever they wanted him to go. So, he really enjoyed the scouting. He really enjoyed, you know, going to the games, you know, watching the young players play. Like, he was a student of the game. He, you know, he enjoyed everything about hockey, and that's kind of some of the things I learned from him.
He convinced Montreal, when I guess there weren't a lot of goalies taken high up in the first round, to draft a young player named Carey Price. I'm sure there are a lot of players that he is credited with finding. Let's start with Carey.
He worked the West when they drafted Carey Price. Trevor Timmons, I think, was the head scout at the time. And, you know, how it works is you have area guys that identify players, and, you know, the head scout and the area scout or the crossover scouts come in and see him. But he really liked Carey in his draft year. And, you know, at the time Montreal stepped up, they took him fifth overall, and he's gone on to have a wonderful career.
So it seems like you just always wanted to be a builder. I mean, did you just always want to be a GM?
Yeah, and I enjoyed, like, working my way up, you know, through the business. I started as an area scout. I worked for the Buffalo Sabres. You know, John Muckler hired me, and I worked under Don Luce, and I learned a lot from Don Luce. And, you know, and then from Buffalo, I went to Boston and worked under Peter Chiarelli. And, you know, we had success there. And so, you know, I enjoyed the scouting end of the game, you know, finding, you know, the pieces that you fit together to build good teams. Like, that's where I get the most enjoyment.
I'm guessing, though, the stats and the numbers you looked at and the work you did, research you came up with, different than today. What do you look for in terms of analytics and stats? What numbers matter to you now that you're evaluating players?
First and foremost, when our scouts watch players or when I watch players, it's, you know, we're looking at, you know, the physical skills the players demonstrate. You know, their hockey sense, how they read the play, their skill level, their hands, the release on their shot,
How do you quantify that, or ask your scouts to quantify that?
Well, the numbers, you know, like the numbers that they're going to put up is going to quantify, you know, that there's a reason. You know, you try to figure out, okay, well, this guy's scoring a lot of goals, and, you know, sometimes he's maybe not the fastest guy, but he seems, you know, to be deceptive, and he's got the courage to go play in the hard areas of the ice to score, maybe, you know, rebound goals or tip-ins or those type of goals. Or if he's scoring his goals from the outside, you know, what is his release on a shot? Like, is he got a quick release? How's he beating goalies? You know, so those are all things that, you know, we have our scouts look at. And then we have our analytics people in the office run numbers for us. And, you know, we have a program that we use that the things that we identify that we, you know, like in players to, and then, you know, we send our analytics people send a list to our scouts and they go over it. We go over it with them. And, you know, and then it's about laying eyeballs, though, on players and seeing them play and, you know, making sure that, you know, because the hardest thing about scouting is it's not kind of what you see is what you get outside of maybe the top of 5 to 10 players in the draft. But you're trying to figure out, okay, you're watching a 17-year-old kid play. They get drafted, you know, by 18. But where is that player going to be 4 years down the road? And it's their foundation. It's their ability to skate, you know, their ability to read the play. And then, you know, all those things we take into consideration. And, you know, we have, you know, enough experience in our group. And you know, we're trying to figure out, okay, well, where's this player going to be in, you know, when they're 22, 23 years old? Now, it's changed a little bit because we see players now step right in, you know, like maybe a year after they're drafted and make a big, huge impact on their teams. And, you know, I think now the young players, because of social media, because, you know, the confidence they have in themselves, and, you know, they show up and they're ready to go. And we see it every year, you know, like there's 3 or 4 young players in the league that have looked like they played in the league a long time when it's their first year.
So Elias Pettersson makes you look like a genius. What did you see in him?
Well, it was a collaborative effort of all of our guys. It wasn't, you know, all of our crossover scouts. They liked him from day one. I remember, you know, talking to Ronnie DeLorme when he came back from seeing him in the summertime at a summer tournament, and he was all excited about him. And Judd Brackett, our head scout, really liked him. John Weisbrot, our assistant general manager. So, and then I got to see him 4 times at the World Junior in Montreal. And, you know, with him, it was like the things that we've talked about. His hockey sense was off the charts. He had a real fast hands in tight places and in small spaces. He could make, you know, high-end plays, and he had a high-end release on a shot. And, you know, but it wasn't without worry either. Like, we picked at 5 that year, and, you know, he was still a slight kid. And, you know, and he's still getting stronger to this day. But, you know, there was, you know, we had questions, like, is he going to be able to handle, you know, the physical play and do all the things that he's capable of, because he does have such high, you know, skill level, hockey sense in hands.
So you had a big week with the Sedins coming into town and retiring their numbers. And there was a moment where I think there were 4 of the last 4 general managers of the Canucks organization, you know, all together on the ice. A lot of history between the 4 and a lot that had gone on over the years. What was that like for you all to be there to celebrate the Sedins and put all the front office stuff behind you?
Yeah, I thought it was a nice moment. I thought it was, you know, a nice moment for them, you know, when their names were introduced. The fans all gave them a loud cheer, and, you know, and let them appreciate, you know, all the hard work that they did when they were, you know, working as the general managers for the Vancouver Canucks. So I know Brian Burke was there, and Dave Nonis, and Mike Gillies. And so I got to say hi to him, and I thanked him for coming. And, you know, I think it was the Sedins. You know, they were such great people and great players, and, you know, they set the culture for our organization for a long time, that, you know, people look past their personal experiences maybe with the organization, you know, for the betterment of enjoying a special night for them. And I thought our organization did a really nice job. I thought the night went perfect, and You know, they're such good guys, and they're so humble. And, you know, to have their families there and their mom and dad, it turned out really nice.
The pressure that you all must feel to bring success to such a hockey-crazed town, you feel like the vibe is good right now in Vancouver?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, we have a very intelligent fan base. They understand what we're trying to do. You know, we're trying to draft well, develop our players, you know, build through the draft. But when there's an opportunity to trade for a player that we think can help, you know, with the development of our young players and set the course for our group, you know, as far as competing hard on a night-to-night basis, like we've gone out and tried to, you know, be aggressive and, you know, doing some trades and getting some free agents to, you know, to try to speed up the rebuild of our team.
When you're out and about in town, how do fans approach you, or how do they treat you, or what is?
The fans in Vancouver are excellent. Like they understand. They're excited about this year. They're excited about the direction that we're heading, and you know, the young players that we have that we're developing. I think, you know, this is going to be the start, you know, of the next 5 or 6 years in Vancouver of, you know, having a real good run with all the good young players we have.
Because, you know, that's a smart hockey culture. They understand what you're doing. Was it hard at first, though?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was, you know, coming in, it was tough. Like, the first few years, I'm not going to lie, it wasn't easy. Like, I took a lot of criticism. But, you know, I understood, you know, what we had to do. And so I've tried to, you know, stay with, you know, what's important to us. And that was drafting well and developing our young players. And, you know, I'm grateful to our fans and for ownership, you know, being patient with me to give me the time to rebuild the team. And so, you know, that part. But our fans have always been real supportive, and we have a great fan base out there. And I'm happy that, you know, we've been able to win our share of games this year and be competitive for them.
Who takes the criticism harder, like you or your family?
My wife's, you know, I met her when I played junior hockey in Portland. So, you know, she's been excellent. I've spent a lot of time on the road. She's raised 4 kids. And with me coming and going, you know, she's always been very supportive. You know, it's not easy, you know, for hockey families, because you have to pick up and move every, you know, 5 years, 8 years and stuff. So that part of it sometimes is hard. But, you know, she's been a trooper and going to, you know, the next stop and getting all set up and having to meet all new friends. And so she's been real supportive.
Does she get mad if she sees criticism or?
No, she understands that's part of the business. I don't think anybody likes to be criticized, but I think it's part of the job. And if you can't take the criticism, it's going to be a tough industry to work in, because, you know, you're always under scrutiny, you know, the moves you make, the decisions you make in drafting players or trading for players. It's always going to be, you know, it's in the domain of public opinion, and you're going to, you know, there's some times where, you know, there's people that aren't going to agree with what you're doing. But I understand all that. I think, you know, we've had a plan since I've come in there, and, you know, I try to act with conviction in what I believe in. I believe I know what winning teams are supposed to look like, and the pieces that you have to, you know, put together to get to the success of where you want to be. And, you know, that's through 27 years of, you know, working in the business, you know, right from the ground up. And, you know, I learned a lot when I played, too. Like, I played, you know, for 10 years, or, you know, 11 years total, but 9 in the NHL. I played a year in the minor league team and a year over in Europe. And I think all those experiences that I've had as a player and learning my way up through, you know, management positions has served me well. I've seen a lot of different things and how different people handle different situations. And I think that's been part of my learning process of, you know, and that's how I manage today.
your time as a player, I wonder, do you see sometimes, you know, one of your players in the locker room that maybe all the guys gravitate toward, and you're like, you know what, I played with a guy like that, and they're really good to have, or you see someone that, you know, maybe does something, and you're like, oh, been there, done that, I've seen how that ends. Yeah. I've seen that how that movie ends.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, coming from a playing background, you know, I'm more sensitive to the issues that the player's going through when they're playing. Like, you know, it's you know, when you play in the NHL, it's hard, it's tough. Like, there's, you know, you're tired, you're beat up, you got to keep playing. You know, you have to produce. If you're a scorer, you got to produce. Or a physical guy, you know, the coach wants you hitting. So I think, been through it myself as a player, I understand, you know, the difficulties that players go through. And, you know, and I try to be sensitive to those issues that they have and try to help them along as best I can. But also knowing that, you know, at certain times with some players, you got to give them tough love and you have to be hard on them to get them, you know, where you expect, you know, they're going to grow to as players. So I think it's kind of a fine line of, you know, trying to support them and helping them along, but also, you know, like with when you have your kids, teaching them, you know, the when they're doing things the right way, and, you know, continue to do those things. And you know, that's the way I look at it.
Speaking of kids, I kind of still see Travis Green as a kid, young. Well, why has he been the right choice? What do you think he's doing?
Well, he's very passionate first and foremost. Like, he, you know, he loves the game. His communication skills with today's players, I think, are really good. Like, you know, the players now, they want, you know, instant feedback. They want that communication, you know, whether they're looking at their phones, or they're used to always having, you know, feedback, whether it be positive or negative. And I think one of Travis's strengths is he's able to, you know, to have a relationship with each player, you know, although it might be different. But, you know, when players, sometimes they need a pat on the back, and he's there to encourage them and to get them to where they need to be. And other times, you know, they need, you know, more tough love, and, you know, he needs to be harder on guys to get him to play well. And he understands, you know, when he's got to be, you know, when maybe a player's lost confidence, and he's got to try to pick him up. And then when a player, you know, needs, you know, sometimes to get going. So I think, you know, that's one of his strengths as a coach. And we have a real good staff there with, you know, the other guys we have. Noel Baumgartner is really good, and Newell Brown and Manny Malhotra and Ian Clark, you know, works with our goalies. So I feel we have a real good staff, but Travis is doing a good job.
What is your day-to-day with Travis like? Do you – so we were talking to Jarmo Kekäläinen, and he said he never goes to John Tortorella after a game. He always waits for the dust to settle.
Yeah.
Well, what's your relationship like with Travis?
Yeah, I go down after the game, and I, you know, I don't really, you know, give him much criticism. I just mostly listen to, you know, him and what his thoughts on the game were, and you know, we digest it, and then we talk about it the next morning. And, well, as you know, we played last night, and just noticed while I'm talking to you, he's called twice because we got home at 3 a.m. and he's probably got up now and he wants to talk about what happened last night. So that's, you know, it's, you know, I end up talking to him 2 or 3 times every day, about, you know, whether it's strategy, it's about player personnel, about, you know, what we can do to make the team better, or, you know, the players we have, make them better. And I think that's, you know, just conversations that every general manager has with their coach.
Talking about decisions and making decisions, where do you do your best thinking? Driving in the car?
You know, when I'm in the office, when we, you know, we have our hockey ops group together, and you know, we talk things through, and, you know, we listen to everybody's, you know, opinions on different things. And, you know, at the end of the day, I have to decide, you know, in the direction that we want to go in and set the direction. And so in a group of room, or a group of us in a room talking hockey, you know, and coming to what we think is the right decision, that's when I'm at my best.
So you strike me as not a quick decision maker.
No, we like to, you know, I like to have all the facts, go through all of our options, and, you know, because we want to make, you know, decisions that, you know, every decision you make impacts the organization to a certain point. So we want to, you know, make decisions that we think are you know, are that are going to make our team, you know, competitive. And you know, our goal at some point is to, you know, to win the Stanley Cup. And so, you know, that's what we're building towards, is adding the different pieces to, you know, at some point we want to compete for the Cup.
One player for sure I wanted to ask you about was JT Miller. You took some criticism for that deal, I guess, and he's just working out wonderfully. Why did you go after him?
You know, he was a guy that we really liked in his draft. I really liked him in his draft year. He got drafted to the Rangers and grew up, you know, as a player with the Rangers, you know, playing with McDonough, with Callahan, all those guys there. Girardi, I think, learned a lot from those guys, and you know, they had success when he was in New York. He learned about what you needed to do, what it took to win. Went to Tampa Bay, you know, played on another real good team. So what he's brought us is, outside of like his high skill level, his ability to protect the puck and make plays, he's been a real good leader in our locker room. He understands, you know, winning and playing on good teams, and I think he's been good for our young players. Like, he plays with Petey, you know, on a shift-to-shift basis, but I know Bo's our captain, but I think Bo, like, looks up to him and goes to him for advice. He's helped Jake Virtanen a lot because, you know, Jake kind of plays like him, and having watched Miller play all year, Jake's now using his size and strength and speed to create more using his shot. So I think it's, you know, the intangibles that he's brought to our group that, you know, maybe aren't always measured from the outside. I think he's done a really good job with our group and getting us more competitive than we were in the past.
Goaltending has become a strength in your organization, and probably developing or choosing goaltenders is for sure an inexact science. How do you evaluate goalies?
When I played, I was a defenseman, right? So I always appreciated, you know, good goalies. And I understood when I was in Buffalo and we had Dominic Hasek, you know, I understood the importance of having a goalie of his caliber, what it meant to the team and in team building. Like, you know, he, you know, on any given night, you know, he would, your team would be in the game. He'd make the saves, and, you know, maybe our teams were maybe average teams, but if you have real good goaltending, then you could be a really good team. So, you know, that's kind of, I think, where it started. When we were in Buffalo, you know, we drafted Marty Biron and Ryan Miller, and so, you know, we had good goaltendings that we were developing and coming through the system. And then we went to Boston, you know, we had Thomas, and, you know, Pete traded for Tuukka Rask, who, you know, is developed into one of the best goalies in the league. So when I took the Vancouver job, I think, you know, my first draft, it was important for us, I thought, to draft a young goalie and start developing him. And we drafted Thatcher Demko. You know, I think we've been patient with him, and, you know, he's developed, and now he's going to get his opportunity, and you know, to play in, you know, high pressure games, situations, and we have confidence that, you know, he's going to be able to handle it and play really well for us.
Not that you need, you know, any more motivation, but it looks like that this Seattle team will be a real rivalry.
Yeah.
For you. You grew up in the Battle of Alberta. What do you remember about those games in terms of how it might impact, you know, the league?
Well, I think it's going to be fantastic for our marketplace. They're going to be our closest team, you know. It's going to be 2.5 hours up the road. We're going to be instant rivals. You know, it's good for the Pacific Northwest to get an NHL team, and I think it's going to be tremendous when they join the league. You know, us being in Canada and Seattle in the States, if we're going to have that same sort of rivalry, but we could.
It might just be like, you know, people get out their U.S. flags and their Maple Leaf flags.
Yeah.
It might become a little bit of a fun national
thing.
Yeah,
and it's close enough where we'll get a lot of Vancouver fans will drive down to the Seattle games. And even now, we have a lot of Seattle people that I talk to that drive up and watch the Canuck game. So
are they going to change allegiances?
Probably. I would think they would. Yeah.
So you strike me as pretty laid back. What gets your dander up? What makes you mad?
Well, I'm a competitive guy, and I hate losing. Like, losing has been hard. Like, when I was in Buffalo, like, you know, we rebuilt the team, and in 99 we went to the Stanley Cup Finals and lost to Dallas there. And then when I went on to Boston, I worked with Pete Chiarelli as his assistant general manager, and, you know, we won the Stanley Cup in 2011, which is probably, you know, my greatest memory of, you know, working in management positions. And then 2013 we went back and we ended up losing to Chicago. You know, people in this business, they love to win or they hate to lose, and I hate losing, and we've done our share of losing the last few years, but I think we're getting to the point now where we're going to win more games than we lose.
Okay, a couple fun facts about you, and then we'll let you get back to work. Beer or wine?
I'm not really. I enjoy a glass of wine. I'm more of a bourbon guy. I'm not really a beer guy, so it would be a bourbon or a glass of wine.
Okay, so it was a neither.
Yeah, it was a neither, probably.
If you're not working or in the summertime when you get away, what do you like to do when you're not working?
Well, we have an acreage in Oregon that, you know, we've owned through the years, and it's nice to get back there, and, you know, out in the country, and, you know, I like getting out and, you know, working outside, and, you know, that to me is relaxing and gets my mind off of, you know, all the stress and the worry of this job, and I get to reset. So I don't make it back there, you know. In the summertime after development camp, middle of July, I get to get back there for 2 or 3 weeks, and then I just work out of my office there. But that to me is, you know, a place that I can go just to get away from everything.
Is there something that you haven't accomplished yet in hockey that you want to?
Well, yeah, I'd like to win a Stanley Cup and bring a Stanley Cup to the people of Vancouver. Like, they're fantastic fans. They've been waiting a long time. That's something that, you know, I'd like to accomplish.
All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this. Yeah. It's been fun getting to know you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Really hope you enjoyed this edition of the NHL Executive Suite with Jim Benning. The Canucks have a lot of reasons to be excited about the days ahead. As always, we appreciate our loyal listeners. Thank you for listening, rate, and review. The feedback is always great. And until next time, I'm Deb Placey in the NHL Executive Suite.